here, I will, when I seem to be nowhere. He walks in where we cannot see. Oh yes, he will make a way for me. He will be my God. Hold me closely to his side. He loves me. Made impossibility possible. Made impossibility. Oh my God, oh my Jesus, oh my Shabbat. Raise up your light unto the heavenlies, beloved, and say this loud and clear. Every imagination against my breakthrough. Can you say that loud and clear? From the heavenlies, scatter in the name of Jesus. Scatter the imagination. Command the imagination to scatter in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, power of repeated oppression. In the name of Jesus. Power of repeated oppression. Die in the name of Jesus. Pasete ne kaya boshende rabasanta. In Jesus' name we pray. Say, my glory, arise, shine above the imagination of my enemies. My glory, arise, shine above the imaginations of my enemies. In the name of Jesus, my glory, arise, shine above the imaginations of my enemies. Masentea kaya boshende rabosantia. In Jesus' name we pray. Wonderful God, we thank you for another wonderful evening. And we praise your holy name for bringing us here. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Tonight, open our understanding specially. Lay your hands upon our lives. Teach us directly from your feet. By the time we leave here tonight, let us be another creature. Let us be renewed in our spirit, man. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's have our seat. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Tonight, we're looking at what I call the mystery of sacrifice. The mystery of sacrifice. And you do well to listen very carefully. We're going to read four scriptures very quickly. The mystery of sacrifice. I read first of all from the book of 2 Samuel. Second Samuel chapter 24. Second Samuel chapter 24, I read verse 24. The mystery of sacrifice. Second Samuel 24:24. This is King David speaking, who understand the mystery of sacrifice. And the king said unto Arauna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which thus cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. He was given the thing, so you can take it free of charge. Say no, I can't give God that which cost me nothing. The mystery of sacrifice. In Psalm 51, Psalm number 51, verse 17. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So there is something known as the sacrifices of God. And the Bible says there are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. God will never despise such sacrifice. So there is a place you can reach, and there is a kind of sacrifice you can offer that God will never say no to you. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, only acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here again, we are reading that our bodies are to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. The best example of a living sacrifice I can give to you was something that happened along in Jew Road many years ago. A tanker driver had collided with a poultry vehicle, having many chickens inside. The vehicle caught fire. The chickens were there and they were burning alive. That is a living sacrifice. In the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 7. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. That is, what were gained to him for the sake of Christ, he counted them as lost. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I've read to you four verses of scripture. There are more verses. When I was a student in the University of Reading, United Kingdom, we invited an unusual white man to come and hold a crusade. He was different from other white men because he had traveled all over the place. He spoke to us about a time he was ministering in India. He met a woman. The woman had two children. One child was very sick. One was very healthy and was jumping up. And the woman was heading for the river. And the missionary said, what are you going to do? He said he was going to sacrifice one of his children to the gods. This missionary tried to persuade this Indian woman not to do it. But he did not succeed. So the missionary waited for her to come back. By the missionary's calculation, he thought what the woman was going to do was to go to the river and throw the sick child into the river for the gods. But he was surprised when the woman was coming back and he had the sick child with him. The healthy one had been thrown into the river. missionary shouted, "It's about why should you do that? Even if you are going to sacrifice a Chinese one that is about to die, why don't you throw that one inside?" He said, "No, he was not going to give his idol a sick offering." Beloved, a big disease has entered into the body of Christ these days. The concept of sacrificing anything to God is becoming alien to most Christians today. This is not the message that the apostles preached, that most churches are preaching today. The apostles preached about sacrifice and counting all things as dung. But this concept is alien to most of the modern day Christians. It is sad, but it is true, that the focus of Christianity these days is money, prosperity, safety, protection, and things like that. Majority of testimonies is, "Praise God with me. I came to this church with slippers now I can wear shoes. I was living in a one room, now I built a house. There was an accident and I escaped." Nobody ever came and took the microphone and said, "God said I should sell all I have and give those work." Nobody. It is sad to note, and this is a lamentable situation, that even pastors measure their success by the amount of money they have, the number of cars they have, the number of houses they have built, the amount of offerings they raise. That's what pastors use to measure their success. Whereas, that is not a measure of success at all as far as ever is concerned. Look at us in Mountain of Fire now. Thank God the Mountain of Fire Miracle is a praying ministry. If it's not for prayers, it could have been worse. The MFM has lost so many pastors to the mammon of money. Practically, most of those people who send abroad, go and minister. Immediately they get there, they see dollars, they see pounds, something turns their brain and they go away. And immediately they check into the aircraft here, they seem to check holiness back to Nigeria. There was a time here we all contributed money many years ago to start the London church. All of a sudden, when the church was very small, when they were struggling, headquarters was giving money. They were spending it. There was no way they could find money at that time. No way. The white man is very stingy. He won't give you his money just like that. They went on. Then the power of God began to move there. And the place began to grow. Immediately it became big. And there was a level of small money there. All of a sudden, the man woke up one morning and said, "I'm removing the name of Mountain of Fire from this place." And he put his name that he wanted. Here at the headquarters, Pepe Seller have contributed money. Panagita, they've contributed money. Policeman contributed his own. Lawyer put his own down. Then somebody sat down and sat on all that. And you think that nothing will happen. No. They sold themselves to the demon of mammon. So if the disease is eating up even those who call themselves pastors, how much more members? We have become a generation of those who are focusing just on the hands of God, but we're not looking at his face. Whereas if you look at the face of the man, you are saying, give me, you say, excuse me sir, you are looking sad, what is the matter? Our general national anthem in this generation of Christians is, "I receive it." Brethren, these are serious matters. Brethren, when are we going to start presenting ourselves before the Lord as people who have something to give? Somebody wrote you a letter some years back. I said, "I need some financial assistance." I'm saying, "Sorry, we don't have this kind of money." Then he wrote another letter. Say, "In that wise, I've attended your church for 2 years. All my tithes and my offering that I've contributed here is about 60,000 naira. So give me everything back." When are we going to start presenting ourselves before the Lord as people who have something to give? In the church where we grew up, people who didn't have money, they come to church. They will sweep, they will clean, they clear the benches, they gave something. And as they keep doing it and they are praying their prayers, I'm yet to see one of them that will come out with testimonies. Say, "Well, I can't go. If I have money, I will have given." But you can use your body as a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. This is a very serious matter. If you go through our streets now, if we want to check our level of Christianity, just be looking at the title of our posters. Posters on the street. You see a man with suit, together with his wife in a hat.
on the posters as if they are the Jesus Christ who want to do the work. Anointing to become millionaires. Anointing for miracle explosion. And then when people see that kind of thing, attendance is very huge. But you go and put a poster on the streets and say the narrow way. Nobody will come. No interest. It's a very sad reflection of the generation in which we are. Money has never been and will never be the mark of God's approval on somebody's life. Never. It has never been. It will never be. What do we mean by sacrifice? Sacrifice means to give up, to drop, to forfeit, to forgo, to kiss goodbye, to let go, to surrender, to yield, to deny yourself, to forfeit something you highly value. And that's why if you look at the Bible very well, sacrifices are a divine institution. It's God that started it. He slaughtered an animal and used the coat to prepare garments for Adam and Eve. It's a divine institution. Sacrifices are to be offered to God alone. When we offer sacrifices to God, we are acknowledging that He is the supreme being. And God is very particular in scripture about the kind of sacrifices you bring before Him. If you are bringing animals, He wants clean animals. If you are bringing the fruit of the earth, it must be clean, good ones. And so the principle of sacrifices have started from the book of Genesis. In the land of Israel, there were daily sacrifices, monthly sacrifices, yearly sacrifices. And as you read the Bible, you find different kinds of offerings, different kinds of sacrifices. And one of the things that God had against the sons of Eli, well, they treated the sacrifices of the Lord with contempt. And God had to move in. God first of all killed them, then He broke their father's neck, although the man was His priest. So God takes it very, very seriously, the issue of sacrifices. But the sacrifices you see in the Old Testament is a picture of something much, much serious in the New Testament. Unfortunately today, beloved, the message of sacrifice has been abandoned. This is why the church of this race is so powerless. Because the truth is that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. The trouble is that our hearts are not in heaven. When the hearts are, when your treasure is there, you put your treasure there, that's where you have to be all the time. Paul made many sacrifices for his faith and he was happy making it. There are so many people that don't understand these principles. They are in the work of God for the wrong reasons. They are serving God for the wrong reasons. And I'm afraid for some people, because as they are putting into the things of God, they are withdrawing it back. There is nothing like living for God. We want to live for God without paying the price. It's not possible. There is a book. They call the book Fox's Book of Martyr. It details right from Stephen. It gives us how many, many people died for Jesus. They died for Jesus. Some of them, their fingernails were plucked out while they were still alive. Some they cut off their hands because they want them to renounce Christ. And many people were not even bold enough to read that book. Some will read the book and will have a very bad sleep because of the terrible things they did to Christians. I read about the story of a boy some time ago. He wanted to go and minister to some people who were slaves. His father was the richest man in town. So he asked for permission to go and preach to those slaves. They refused. So, no, we don't mix with them. They are slaves. The father almost collapsed. On the next market day for slaves, this son of the richest man was there to sell himself as slaves. And he sold himself as a slave so that he can minister to the slaves. He abandoned the wealth and everything so that he can minister to the slaves. That's what the Bible means by living sacrifice. Undying sacrifice. Some people now, if you say, go and do a small thing for Jesus, the next question is, how much am I getting? Go and do this. How much am I getting? Go to the village. Go and minister to the villagers. How much are they paying me? The gospel of sacrifice, which the apostles preach, is gradually dying away. And that's why the church of Jesus is so powerless. Because is a symbol of obedience and sacrifice and death. Because you bring out your blood. That's why if we want power back into our church now, we need to go back to the preaching of the cross. Because the Bible said that preaching is the power of God. We need to go back to preaching the sacrifice of God. Why? Because you see, beloved, sacrifices release spiritual power. There is no satanic operation. There is no demonic ritual that does not involve sacrifice. They know the power of sacrifice. Those who are putting sacrifices on the crossroad, if it does not work, they won't be doing it. But when any sacrifice is made, there is a power that is released. Whether you sacrifice animals, you sacrifice birds, you sacrifice human beings, as far as it is a sacrifice, and they are doing it in rituals, it releases power. People seeking spiritual powers, they are always asked to go and sacrifice something. That's why I felt ashamed the day one occultic man was giving testimony. He said he fasted for 201 days because he wanted satanic power. He said he slept on somebody's grave in the cemetery for 40 days because he wanted power. But we Christians, we don't want to live a life of sacrifice, and we are looking for power. That's why MFM has so many pastors who are just prayer point experts. They have got prayer point, there is no power. Many Christians are powerless because of this too. Many of us, if we live a life of sacrifice, that place where you are living, you become a power generator. Where you are living, which is dare not pass through. If you are living a life of sacrifice, many of you here will have heard about Mary's lesson. If you had never traveled abroad, you won't know the kind of sacrifice people like Mary's lesson made to abandon the comfort of their countries and to come and live in the bush here. You won't understand what people like David Livingstone did. They abandoned their comfort and moved about in the desert in the bush until he died there. A missionary that spoke to us abroad many years ago said this. He said, "I have dwelt 4 years alone in Africa. Say, I've been 30 times stricken with fever. I've been attacked by dangerous animals and lions. I've been ambushed by the natives. I've eaten everything from ants to lizard. So, but I will gladly go through the same experience again so that I can finish my journey with joy." That kind of sacrifice has gone now. This is the generation where you give somebody a room, a missionary is asking for AC. That was what was handed over to us. Some want to run before they even crawl. Want to run before you crawl. There is power generation when you sacrifice yourself. When you live a sacrificial life. For example, when you fast, a lot of power is released. This is because that fasting is a sacrifice. In the fasting, you are sacrificing your food. When you are praying the night, there is a power released. Because you are sacrificing your sleep. When you give up something for God, power is released. When you begin to walk in the house of God, and you put the whole of your body, your soul, your spirit into it, power is released. Favor is released. But we don't do this anymore. Today we have plenty of knowledge, plenty of high-blowing theological grammar. We pray plenty of hot prayers, but little sacrifice or no sacrifice. But the moment you decide to sow your life in, that moment you become a sacrifice and power will be generated. We have many doctrines and many kinds of ideas and many programs, but no sacrifice. And the enemy has cleverly kept Christians away from living a sacrificial life. We don't have to be telling people to give offering, give tithes. If you are yourself, you are a living sacrifice. Everything you have to is sacrifice. Nobody needs to preach that to you anymore, because yourself, you are a living sacrifice. The Bible tells us that the Antichrist will arise. And the first thing the Antichrist will do is to stop the daily sacrifices. So there is a spirit working against sacrificial life. According to Daniel 11, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. When God is calling on you to give up something, give it up, give it up. Or God will say, "Do this for me, do this for me." The spirit of Antichrist will not allow you to do it. It will keep you away from doing it. And you will be able to do what you really want to do. I pray that from this service today, that there will be men and women here that they will deeply understand this message. Jesus began to talk about going to Jerusalem to die on the cross. Peter said, far be it from you. What kind of thing was rebuking Jesus? Immediately Jesus recognized the anti-sacrifice spirit. So get thee behind me, Satan. It is not Peter that is talking. Get away from my back. Anything that is preventing from living a sacrificial life for Jesus is the spirit of Antichrist. These are very, very serious matters. Listen, beloved, there are no shortcuts to the will of God. You must sacrifice for the gospel. You say, is that what you should be doing every day? Bible says, if any man will follow me, so let him deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow me. If you will be his disciples, whether you like it or not, we all make sacrifices all the time. It now depends on where you are targeting your sacrifice, depends on where you direct it. While I was in this University of Lagos as an undergraduate, I've seen students swallowing powders of one drug they call Alabuku into their throat because they want to remain awake and read. I've seen people licking coffee because they want their eyes to remain open, they want to read. I've seen people with bags of cola nuts, they'll be eating it so as to remain awake. They are sacrificing their sleep because of a certificate that will be useless immediately they are dead. Some even have a certificate now. They are living. The certificate is still useless. Some put their legs in cold water in the lecture room because they are reading. They are sacrificing for things that will soon pass away. Doctors in the hospital, they make sacrifices. Everybody makes sacrifices. It depends on where you direct your sacrifices. I've seen Nigerians. He said, I must go to America. A man who was born by his parents with not a single tribal mark on his face. Because he didn't want them to recognize his picture again. He went and put large tribal mark on his face. Look at the sacrifice he made just because he wants to enter into another man's country. There's a place now that people who want to run into America, they cross from Mexico or so, and they go inside the boat in the night to cross, and the policemen on the rivers, never people, they'll be chasing them. Many Nigerians have dropped into the river, they drowned, they died. The parents are doing thanksgiving in Nigeria that their children are brought, one thing that they are drowned, they are eaten by fishes. Sacrifices that people make for things that will pass away. One time not too long ago, a Nigerian woman just fell down in the center of London and died. By the time they searched her, she had three identity cards. She was walking in three places a day. 7 a.m. to 12 noon, she's a cleaner. From 2 to 6, she's working the restaurant. Then from 8 to 5 a.m., she's doing another work again. She just fell down and died. Sacrifices for what will pass away. Make up your mind. When you are just coming, you call yourself a Christian. But in heaven you are not recognized because they can't count you among the disciples of Jesus because you have really sacrificed nothing for him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 20. 1 Corinthians 10:20. It says this. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I will not that you should have fellowship with devils. People are sacrificing to the devil every day. But to sacrifice for the things of God is so hard for so many people. There are many people who are supposed to be in this Wednesday meeting now. They won't come. They say, why are you not here? I am a banker. We close late. Until we have balanced everything, we can't go. But if I'm lovers, enter into that bank. It's the first thing you say, blood of Jesus! Blood of Jesus! Yes? He's making a sacrifice to what will pass away. People sacrifice for what is not, it won't really pass through this, after this planet. They sacrifice for the wrong thing. But the correct sacrifice is being required today. Few make these sacrifices. Few make the sacrifices. The Bible says, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and die. It remains alone. But if it falls down, it becomes fruitful. Very, very fruitful. Somebody told a proverb. Said there's a restaurant. And all they sell there is fried eggs and roasted meat. And one day, a cow and a chicken arrived at the restaurant. And the fowl was saying, the chicken was saying, If not for me, this restaurant will not be here. The cow looked at the chicken and said, ah, what are you contributing? His eggs you are contributing. So, for cows, it's total sacrifice. The only is a commitment, just put egg down. So, but for them to have roasted meat, the cow must die. The surrendered life is a powerful life, beloved. And when that power comes out of your life, it brings glory to Jesus. Brings glory to Jesus. There are many people now, some of them are in the choir, orchestra, whatever they are. They don't know how to sing the Remi Faso when they were born. They don't know how to even sing it until they got here. They don't know how to play any instrument. This church will now sow into their life and teach them this, teach them. They now know it. They know it now. The Niger Church of Cathedral, Pentecostal Church of Ascension, Roda Church of Bluton. They say, they now become beggarly players all over town. And then they collect their arrows properly. And they come back now. When somebody is living a sacrificial life, you are sold out. I read the story about Peter. Disciples in Rome, they gather themselves together. They say, Peter, get out of Rome, Because you are our leader. If they kill you, I will not be there again. And they are arranging for Peter to escape from Rome. And Peter escaped from Rome. As he was going out of Rome, running away, he saw Jesus coming up. He stopped. He said, Lord, we are that blessed. Jesus looked at him. So Peter, I go to Rome where you are running from to be crucified a second time. When Peter heard that one, did the roundabout turn, went back to his own room where he was captured and crucified upside down. There has never been a man in history who lived a life of ease and pleasure whose name is worth remembering. Man, they're gone. That's what the Bible says. She that giveth herself to pleasure is dead. Why is she yet living? This is what I want you to understand this evening. It is not what you get that makes you. It's not what you get that makes you rich. It's what you give up. That's what will make you rich. What is the power of sacrifice? Number one, sacrifice will generate divine favor. Two, sacrifice is an index of total commitment. We have a lot of non-committed members. We have a lot of non-committed pastors. They are just waiting. Say, if all things go well, we stay. There is a problem, we run. Three, sacrifice is a sign of total dedication and loyalty. Four, sacrifice, like I've been telling you, generates spiritual powers. That's why all demonic rituals involve sacrifices. Five, sacrifice shows appreciation. Appreciation to what God has done for your life, in your life. Six, sacrifice is an index of self-denial. Seven, sacrifice is a sign of brokenness. Eight, sacrifice generates discipline power. Discipline power. Nine, sacrifice generates convicting power. Guys, some of us speak and people don't take us seriously. Look at what is happening in the world now. The suicide bombers are turning the world to another environment. For somebody to tie bomb around his own waist, from his own house, the meaning of that is that he was already dead before he left home. That's the meaning. And the only Christian the devil is afraid of is those who are not afraid of death. But you know, even if you have a lot of men and women who claim to be serving God, but they are disgraced in the house of Levi. Once they see somebody who is a bit rich, they go blind. Madam, I need something. They go blind. Ministers, counselors, ushers will start locating those who dress expensively, those who walk in high places, begging them for money. Such people are a disgrace to the house of labor. And those are the kind of people who are praying that God should shake out of MFM. So they will know that the job of God has some dignity and integrity. And that God does not foster you by begging. These are all very serious issues. Are you prepared to live a sacrificial life? All the apostles, they were insulted by the enemies of their master. They sealed their doctrines with their blood. Matthew was slain with the sword. Mark expired at Alexandria after they had cruelly dragged him along the ground until the parts of his body cut off into the street. Luke was hung on an olive tree. John was put in a cauldron of boiling oil.
but he escaped death. But they took him and threw him to the Isle of Patmos. So when you read the book of Revelation, the man who wrote that book was not writing it because he was enjoying himself. They banished him to that island. They don't want him to live amongst human beings again. Peter was crucified at Rome with his head downward. James, the greater James, was beheaded at Jerusalem. The other James was thrown, they took him to the pinnacle of the temple and they threw him down and broke his skull. His head scattered onto pieces on the floor. The apostles got back lemon. They skinned him the way people skin goat or cow when they want to now kill it. And they skinned him alive. He was not dead. They pulled him off his skin. Andrew was bound to a cross and they were pushing here and there. Thomas, they ran a lance, a spear through his body. Jude was shot to death with arrows. Matthias was beheaded. Even Barnabas was stoned to death. That friend of Paul was stoned to death. Paul now, after various tortures and persecutions, they beheaded him in Rome. Those were the faith of those who wrote this book, Bible. Those were the kind of sacrifices they made. No wonder their life generated power. And our home is not generating the kind of power it should generate. That hymn writer has this to say. He says, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thy might ransom be and quicken from the dead. So I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? What has thou given? I spent long years for thee, he said, in weariness and woe, that an eternity of joy thou mightest know. So I spent long years for you. Have you spent one for me? So my father's home of light, my rainbow circle throne. So I left for heavenly night, for wandering sadly and alone. So I left it all for you. So what have you left for me? Ordinary wicked music to leave it alone, trouble for somebody. Ordinary sinner fiancé, sinner boyfriend to leave alone, problem. So I suffered much for thee, more than tongue can tell. Bitterness agony to rescue you from hell. I suffered much for you. What can you bear for me? What can you bear for me? When we started the work of God, the furniture in my room was 4 stools and 1 bed and 1 kettle and 1 stove. It was from the kettle I cook my soup. From the another mouth I pour out the soup. The same kettle I cook rice. Remove the rice from the white mouth. But now these days, you see pastors who run about with food, run to people. God said, you are the one who will buy me a car. God said, you must furnish my flat. What can you bear for me, sir? He said, now let your life be given. Let your years for me be spent. All these world chains that are binding, he said, break them. I gave myself for this, sir. Give thou myself to me. Close your eyes. We're not here to play tonight. Look at the level of sacrifices we've made. Look at the requirement of the Almighty. If everybody was like you in this church, would there be power in this place? Will you not cry to the Lord that that anti-sacrificial spirit, that one that is keeping you behind, that God should shake it out of your life and forgive you for the time you have wasted, thereby opening doors to locusts and the cankerworms? On your feet, my beloved. When people who are serving the devil can attach body to their body to go and die, and the Bible says, what the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. Some people can sacrifice themselves to devils. Answer, my sister, what have you sacrificed your life for now? Sinning for abortion, lust, evil thoughts. Brother, what have you sacrificed yourself? That your body, is it a living sacrifice to God or an instrument that the devil uses on a regular basis? No wonder you cannot hear from the Lord, because the Lord doesn't see you as a sacrificial person. Many are keeping millions and millions and millions and millions away in their banks while the work of God is suffering. What have you sacrificed? You talk to the Lord now and say this after me. My Father, don't allow the Antichrist to harvest my life. Can you open your mouth and begin to talk to God? begin to talk to the Lord. The Antichrist must not address my life.
In Jesus' name we pray. Say, every evil sacrifice that I have made with my body expire in the name of Jesus. Command it to expire. Name we pray. You better take a concrete step as from tonight, beloved. A practical, concrete step. Practical one. Sold out to God. There is nothing wrong there if you come out with your broom one day and with your duster you say, I want to clean the house of God. Nobody will stop you. There is nothing wrong if you visit your account and say, well, this our church needs money, so let me take this out and give it to them. There is nothing wrong to say, well, anywhere you send me, I want to go. There's nothing wrong to say, well, I'm on leave. I want to use my leave to serve Jesus. Please give me something to do. Instead of me sleeping at home, I want to work for Jesus. When you say, come and sing. I need the money. Come and do this. I need money. What you are doing is, you are building your house in heaven. And you are asking the bricklayers, please bring name, bring roof. We are recollecting the material. We are collecting the material from heaven again. That's what you are doing. That's the honest truth. This is a serious matter. Serious matter. If you will live a sacrificial life, a life that is nailed to the cross, when darkness sees you, they'll be afraid. You will not pray this prayer like this. My Father, crucify my flesh. Let me be sacrificed for you. In the name of Jesus. Crucify my flesh. Let me be a sacrifice for you. In Jesus' name we pray. It was an American president who said this. He said, think not of what your country can do for you, but think of what you can do for your country. You too, think not of what your church can do for you, think of what you can do for your church. You may say this again loud and clear. My Father, make me an instrument of power in the name of Jesus. Jesus' name we pray. When we get home tonight, we need to sit down and do some serious thinking and pray. And we dedicate and recommit ourselves to God. Let us share the grace in fellowship.